Thank you, Jerry and Jack. We will see you guys tomorrow. Two more road games for the Blue Jays this season. They knock out the Baltimore Orioles tonight. It's, you know, playing spoiler, when that's the best you can do, it's kind of fun to actually get it done. The Blue Jays won a series against the New York Yankees at home last week and pretty much put them out of the playoffs. And now they officially eliminate the Baltimore Orioles with this win, which means the next two games in this series don't really mean anything as far as the standings are concerned, but it would be lovely to see the Blue Jays pick up a couple of wins anyway. Speaking of those New York Yankees, they're down 7-0 to the Tampa Bay Rays in the top of the ninth inning, so they're going to fall five games behind the Cleveland Indians in the American League wildcard race, which will mean that the Yankees' tragic number after tonight will be one for playoff elimination. One loss by the Yankees, one win by the Indians the rest of the way means New York is out. We were mentioning the no-hitter that Michael Wacha was throwing, the 22-year-old rookie for the St. Louis Cardinals. Two out in the ninth inning, and Ryan Zimmerman hit a little chopper just over the mound out of the reach of Wacha. It was fielded by St. Louis shortstop Pete Cosma, but his throw, too late. Zimmerman beat it out, an infield single, breaks up the no-hitter for Wacha. You got to feel terrible for the kid. And hopefully he has the opportunity to get that close again. That is the third no-hit bid this season that has ended with two out in the ninth inning. Yu Darvish had one for Texas. Yusmeiro Pettit had one for the San Francisco Giants. So too bad for the kid. Tremendous outing for him. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 3-2, and speaking of no-hitters, Sergio Santos threw a perfect ninth inning. Santos has now gone 11 1/3 innings without allowing a hit. He is having a phenomenal year out of the Blue Jays bullpen. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your phone calls all the way to the top of the hour. We begin with Don in St. Catharines. Don, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I wanted to pick your brains over just a couple of things, if I could.
I don't know if I have that much to spare, Don.
Really, you're that deficient?
We'll see.
I don't believe you. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about Casey Jansen. He's been a great find for the Jays as a closer. Do you think he's going to be there next year?
I do. Yeah. If he's here next year, he's the closer.
Okay.
I mean, as enamored as we are with Santos and the work he's done and with the arms of guys like Delabar and McGowan and Jeffress and Wagner and Cecil, and you know what? There's potential for all those guys to be closers in the major leagues at some point when you've got a guy who has done nothing to deserve to even be questioned, he gets the job.
Well, I agree. I just didn't know where a trade might enter into the equation.
Sure.
As far as
it's
getting a starting pitcher and putting him in the mix with somebody else. I don't know.
You can't
get a
starting pitcher for a closer. You can't get a starting pitcher
for a
relief
pitcher.
No, I know,
but maybe you can mix in a few other things to get
it's possible.
You know.
It's possible. Anything's possible. Like there's nothing that's off the table for the Blue Jays in this offseason. There's no potential avenue to improve the team that they wouldn't look at.
Mike, I got one more thing to ask you, and it's been bugging me for the last little while as I've been watching games, especially with the Red Sox and a team like Toronto, for example. It's called plate discipline. Boston Red Sox have long games, and it's probably because one of the factors is because they stretch the count, they don't swing at bad pitches, they just have a lot of plate discipline, and a lot of the players on the team do, as opposed to other teams, and Toronto would be one of them, that they just swing at a lot of bad pitches, they don't have that discipline. So my question to you is, what constitutes plate discipline? Like experience, picking up the spin, focus, knowledge of their pitchers that they're facing. What, in your estimation, constitutes a person who can wait out the count and can walk versus somebody who might strike out?
I don't know if constitutes is the right word, but you're saying what's the difference between a guy who has plate discipline and a guy who doesn't. I'm of the belief that much more often than not, you either have it or you don't. It's not necessarily something that can be taught, and it has to do with, a lot of the time it has to do with confidence, to be honest. Confidence to hit deep in counts. And a tendency not to get jumpy or anxious. You talk about the Red Sox, and you're making, you know, grand generalizations, but that's fine. The Boston Red Sox generally do bring in players who take their share of walks. The Yankees do that too. The Blue Jays don't have many players who do that, but when you say the Blue Jays have no plate discipline, I mean, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Adam Lind, Colby Rasmus, all those guys have great eyes at the plate. Jose Reyes is a solid plate disciplinarian, if you will. He'll take his share of walks. So that's more than half the starting players who will take their share of walks, and it's way better than it's been in the recent past. But it's still, well, now it's not enough. And it stands out because J.P. Arencibia strikes out so much, because Brett Laurie doesn't take a whole lot of walks. And now, because everybody's hurt, it stands out even more. But I honestly believe that if you're confident enough to hit with two strikes, then you'll be less jumpy early in the count. The things that get you off track are when a hitter is ahead 2-0, let's say. And good plate discipline, bad plate discipline. A guy can throw you two balls and you're not going to swing at them. But you're so geared up for that 2-0 pitch that you figure is going to be a cookie fastball to get a pitcher back in the count, that no matter what it is, you're going to swing at it. That's a lack of plate discipline. Same
can
thing
just,
with a 3-1 count, right?
Can
you,
I just
you
ask you, to what extent does picking up the spin and seeing pitches early play into this?
And
some
hurt.
People can do it better than others, I guess.
It certainly doesn't hurt at all. But that's, you know, that's something that also can't be taught. You either can do it or you can't. And I don't know that there are that many people that can identify a slider out of a pitcher's hands more often than not. They'll say, oh, yeah, I saw the dot. I saw the red dot. So I knew it was a slider. But that doesn't happen very often. I mean, just look at what Sergio Santos is doing and how stupid he can make people look with his slider. But that's because he's getting ahead in the count. I really do think that you either have plate discipline or you don't. And
okay.
Some of the factors that make it happen are, well, no, that's not the right way to say it. But that if you're comfortable hitting with two strikes, you're far more likely to have or develop, if such a thing is possible, good plate discipline.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
I appreciate the info.
I hope it made sense.
Right.
Thank you, Don. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 3-2 in 10 innings. The Jays officially eliminate the Baltimores from playoff contention. Thomas in Toronto. Thomas, welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Question for you. Now, over the course of the year, we've heard you say that we've heard you kind of downplay managing and managers and how they affect the game and stuff like that. My question
no,
to you
No, I've downplayed managers being able to make players play better.
Right. Same thing.
Anyways, no, not the same thing at all. But okay, go ahead.
Yes, it is the same thing. But anyways...
The fact that you can't see that really destroys me. But go ahead.
Okay, are you going to interrupt me, or am I going to get a chance to ask you the question?
Well, if you say things that aren't true, I'll interrupt you. If you don't
okay,
say
can
things
you
that aren't
what
true,
I
won't.
To you?
Yes, I just did.
Okay. Can we not argue semantics tonight? Okay? I just want to ask you a question. My question to you is, Jonah Carey was on Bob's show today.
Okay. Cool. I like Jonah Carey.
I like him, too. He's great. And what he did was Bob McCowan and Damian Cox asked him a question, how Pittsburgh and Oakland, how they really do it with their payrolls. And Jonah Carey went on to mention that it's with those teams that have lower payrolls, they seem to engage in analytics a little bit more to help them along with their success. And this is what a lot of other teams are doing now, even the higher payroll teams. Okay. Now, my question is, if you're using analytics more, which enables you to probably impose or add a whole bunch of shifts in a game, doesn't that make a manager's job a little more difficult if he has to look at numbers and statistics and all that and all those things to take chances in games? Doesn't that make a manager's job a little bit more difficult?
More difficult in that he has to be aware of more things, sure, and that he has more homework to do and that he has more studying to do. And
okay.
Maybe that's why now everybody has a bench coach when 20 years ago or 25 years ago everybody didn't. But isn't it a good thing to have as much information as possible at your disposal?
Absolutely. And that very information or overload of information that you have could very well cause could be a good thing and could be a bad thing as well, because there's coaches that micromanage a game that impose so much of those things in a game that can cause a problem for the team affecting the game. No? Is it?
I'm not sure how you mean that.
Okay, well, if a manager is so caught up in imposing 19 shifts a game, well, Jonah Carey mentioned that Pittsburgh Pirates, they use the most shifts of any major league team in baseball.
Okay, and it seems to be working rather well for them. They're going
now,
to the playoffs.
Pardon me?
They're going to the playoffs.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that can very well work for Pittsburgh. Now, it doesn't have to be a success mechanism for all other teams. Could that not be a manager's downfall? That has nothing to do with the players.
If a
manager can't handle it, into the game.
Yeah, that is a manager putting a strategy into a game, and
isn't that a large effect?
Yes.
Okay, so that's my point. Well, you've asked the question: Why should a manager be fired, or why is it a manager's fault? And if a manager is overmanaging a game, well, isn't that, and haven't we seen that a lot in baseball this year?
From John Gibbons?
Not from John Gibbons, just in general.
I've seen it from Bo Porter. I've seen it from Joe Girardi. I've seen it from a couple of other guys sometimes. But again, I don't see these guys enough to know what they're doing on a regular basis. But yeah, and my point, and Thomas, is from the thesis statement that you began with, you know, misquoting me off the top.
I think you have a little confirmation bias when it comes to me, because whenever you hear my name.
I do think that your calls are going to be negative, absolutely, and I'm surprised when they're not. But again, you here's the thing. Whenever I've talked about managing and the effect that managers have and you know, with all the people calling up to say that John Gibbons should be fired because the Blue Jays are in last place, I have consistently said and always have believed that a manager cannot make a player play better, significantly better, and two, managers, and I've said this many times, managers can do a heck of a lot more to lose games for their team than they can to win games. And
that's
that goes to your overmanaging
point,
thing.
That's contrary
it does.
To Jonah Carey's point.
What do you mean it's contrary to Jonah Carey?
You said a manager can't make a player better. You're absolutely right. He can't go out there and field the ball or pick up a bat and bat for
right.
hit for the batter. I agree with that. But Jonah Carey's saying, well, based on the analytics now and all the movement that the coaches, you know, all the positions that the coaches put the players in, it basically makes a player an under-average player or a below-average player look like he's actually a good player because he's in the right place at the right time all the time. Because that manager is pretty much over-managing the game based on analytics. That's what I got from what he said.
That's what you got from what he said. What I get is that the managers are using the information at their disposal to give themselves the best possible chance of a positive outcome. Not
especially when you have a team with a payroll
better.
Of below, pretty much below average players. You have to put these players in the best position to succeed because they're not that great.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make that leap. I don't, because payrolls, you don't have big money free agents. You don't have the big money guys post-arb. But 0-3 players, and there are a lot of good 0-3 players, make no money. First, second-year arbitration guys, and you're looking at guys with 4 or 5 years in the league, don't make significant amounts of money. So they're not going out, and they're not spending on big-time free agents. It's true.
Do you think this is a strategy that Boston employed this year based on the players that they picked up that pretty much nobody else really looked at?
A lot of other people looked at them, but a lot of other people weren't willing to pay them the amount of money that Boston was. Boston paid. They overpaid Shane Victorino. They wanted to overpay Mike Napoli until the whole hip thing happened, and there was a third free agent that they signed that they overpaid. These aren't guys who nobody wanted. These are guys who nobody wanted to pay as much as Boston wanted to pay. And you know what? Mazel tov to Boston. They did a good job. They spent money, a lot of money, on guys who weren't worth the money that they spent on them, but they were certainly good players, and they've helped them win a division. Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate the call. I think it's always hard to know with you. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 3-2 in 10 innings. John is in Guelph, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, Mike. My question, do you think Alex Anthopoulos will or should, after the last game of the season at home, take the field and the mic and apologize to the crowd in the city of Toronto for the way his team's performed this year?
I know that the Raptors kind of started a tradition of that years ago because they've been so terrible. But honestly, I don't think Alex Anthopoulos has anything to apologize for. He did his best.
Well,
he took his shots, and they didn't work out.
Maybe not Alex in general, no, but do you not think somebody, you know, Alex being the boss, should apologize? I mean, $2+ million showed up, and I mean, let's face it, you know, they showed up, bought a lot of tickets early because of the hype and because of what everybody thought was going to happen, and, you know, nothing happened. And I mean, you know, in my estimation, that's the least they could do.
But, really? You think so? I'm actually interested in this because sports are professional sports are played by human beings, right?
Well, and, I know they're not going to give free beer to the 30,000 that show up.
Oh, there's no chance they give out free beer.
Exactly. So I mean,
but let me ask you this:
they're not going to give back what they should give back, which is money.
Why should they give back money?
I'm just saying, as far as an honor system, but you know, honor.
No. But here's the thing, though.
With the bathwater, but
like, Don, hold on a second,
yeah,
John. I want you to actually answer this question because it's an interesting philosophical issue.
Sure.
Sports are played by human beings.
Exactly.
You buy your ticket. Your ticket guarantees you to go see a Major League Baseball game and hopefully be entertained. It does not guarantee you a win for the home team. And, you know, nobody can do that. You want to build a team that has a great chance to be successful, and that's what the Blue Jays thought they did.
Right.
But
do you want
ultimately...
Do you want people to buy season tickets, Mike?
I don't care.
Well, I'm saying do the Blue Jays then, not you. Do the Blue Jays want people to buy season tickets?
Of course
they
do.
Sure, you're talking...
It's a business.
Now, you're describing the guy that gets out on a Friday night just to relieve his stress of work, and I understand that, and you pay... You're 30, 50, or whatever you want to pay. And, yeah, you know, you take your chances on how your team performs. But, I mean, the people that are going, you know, buying season tickets and buying season tickets on the premise of, and I'm not saying there was promises, but, you know, there was a pretty good hype built around this team.
Well, because it was supposed
media,
to be a pretty good team.
Through Rodgers. That probably enticed a lot of people that might not have bought season tickets to buy season tickets.
But that's the marketing department's job, and they weren't selling false hype because, as has been well noted...
Now you're contradicting as far as the original thing about sports being, take your chances. I mean,
they are. Sports are always take your chances. But I'm not contradicting myself at all. Rodgers didn't create...
So you don't think that anybody in the Blue Jays organization should apologize for the year that they have?
No. The players should. Sorry we didn't play better.
Okay, so
we tried.
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. So you do think...
But I don't think fans are owed an apology when a team doesn't do well. When a team's not trying to do well or something like that, then fine. Absolutely. But I honestly think that, you know, you go out, you play the game, and you try your best, and if you win, you win, and it's great. And if you don't win when you're supposed to win, it sucks. But it's not something that needs to be apologized for. And maybe I'm just caught up in the word, but no, nobody said, you know, there's no promise that the Blue Jays were going to be in the playoffs, that they're going to win the World Series. We thought this team that was assembled...
I didn't say World Series, Mike. How about, how about 85 wins and maybe a meaningful last week or...
That would have been awesome, and it should have happened.
2 weeks.
But
you
there's
know,
still,
like, I mean,
but John, as long as games are played by human beings, there are never going to be any guarantees. Not even close to any guarantees. I mean, look at Anaheim. Look at the Giants. They won the World Series 2 out of the last 3 years, and they could very well finish in last place this year. Look at the Washington Nationals, who just got eliminated from the playoffs with a week left. I mean, they're to have to apologize for a bad year would indicate that you had a lot more control over that than you do. No?
Well, exactly, and I think that is the case.
What is the case?
You know, I mean, maybe you hit it on the head as far as the players. I mean, I said Alex just because he's the, you know, he's the figurehead for the players.
Right.
But he, you know, I really think for the performance this year, I mean, you know, we're not talking one bad night by Johnson pitching. Let's face it, Mike. I mean, with some of the dough some of these guys were making, I mean, that was embarrassing. And I mean, you know, an apology, I think, is the least a few of these guys could do.
If that's what you want, that's fine. First of all, I don't think it would matter, A. And two, again, it's a hollow apology if you get it. I mean, if Josh Johnson apologizes for having a crappy year, well, he had a crappy year. And he wasn't trying to have a bad year. It just kind of happened that way. And I agree with you that it was a terrible year and that it was embarrassing and it's awful that the Blue Jays are sitting here with 72 wins and they're going to finish in last place for the second time in this century. That's terrible. And it wasn't the plan by any means. But I don't get why, like, what an apology would do, honestly. And I don't know why they should have to. I appreciate the call. Again, it's not like they weren't trying to win. They were trying to win. They didn't. For me, when you apologize for something, you're apologizing for something that you had control over and that you did incorrectly or that you hurt somebody or something like that. And having a crappy season, you had a crappy season. Unfortunately. But they won tonight. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 3-2 and 10 and knocked Baltimore out of playoff consideration. We'll wrap things up as we continue. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Okay. Back here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, the Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 3-2 in 10 innings and in so doing, knock the Baltimore Orioles directly out of playoff contention. They're eliminated because the Cleveland Indians a little earlier tonight beat the White Sox 5-4 on Jason Giambi's two-run walk-off home run. The Texas Rangers lead the Houston Astros 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth. If Texas holds on to win, they will remain one game behind Cleveland for that final playoff spot in the American League. The Royals are 3.5 behind. They can get back to 3 if they beat the Mariners. Right now they're trailing 1-0 in the bottom of the third. Yankees lost to Tampa Bay 7-0. The Yankees' tragic number for elimination is 1. We're back here tomorrow at OPCY in beautiful Baltimore, Maryland. It'll be Esmiel Rogers against Bud Norris. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern. Please join us, won't you? You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Alex Maczynski, and Frank Head, good night.